but we will be singing to a crowd of troubled young people. So I'm going to speak about my participation there. I was drawn to participating in Granite Peak's juvenile hall services by Paul Mitchells, who had a tale of one encounter he had with a young person there. That fellow told Paul he'd been told by a minister the previous week that because he was in jail, he was not going to heaven. Yeah, let that sink in. This message was delivered by a person of faith, because they have ministers from across the community come in and give services there. So in this setting, what did he hope to gain by saying that to an obviously troubled young person? Did that youthful soul need to hear such a discouraging message during the time that they're already in jail? What happened to the other messages available out there? Redemption and forgiveness, love, personal worth, respect. So I'd ask myself, could I participate in this? And being kind of enthusiastic Unitarian Universalist, I think I said I could do that. I was moved by this to add my name to the roster of Granite Peak members going there to convey our message of dignity, respect for each other, love of the planet, the value of the individual, and the rest of our beloved principles. I satisfied the requirements of fingerprinting and personal history, a photograph, and was ready to start. That there was some serious work already done became apparent with the carefully crafted script and the jail safe trappings. Little electronic candles, but not like this, with flames, but you know, the electronic ones. One for the chalice, a cloth for the altar, and song sheets, and then a whole bunch of other candles that the people can come up and light themselves. Lena's been a stalwart, playing the portable organ for most services for a long time. And of course, you're going to hear her take on this. So we have music. We just sang one, and there's another one coming. I believe our service offers, as most other services probably do, a respite from boredom, a change of room, change of space, a chance to see the girls from the other side of the facility. And vice versa, because there are girls in there too. I have no illusions that they're drawn to us by other than just curiosity and the need to stretch their legs. But just by chance, I and we might make a difference. We might convey something to one of them that they think about and they take away from that room. After we finish our service, we have about 20 minutes to converse with them. We break up into groups, depending on how many are there. Then if there's two of us, you know, we split it in half, and if there's three, we divide in three, and so forth. It offers us a chance to get into discussions about what we've talked about in the service, and sometimes brings up interesting and perceptive takes on life. I almost never touch on reasons for their being in jail, and only address that if they bring it up. I usually frame my answer by saying, "You made a choice and you wound up here. How can you change that?" It's interesting being in a setting where sometimes bad is good. The bad being valued higher on some kind of verbal pecking order, I have not discovered and probably won't discover in my brief time there with them. Some are inquisitive. Do you believe in God? Some are surprising. I came here on my own, voluntarily, asking to be admitted for my own protection and safety. I mean, that kind of implies what kind of people are in there, and where do they come from? Some challenging. I'm here because of being on drugs. Have you ever done drugs? There are affirmations of their own beliefs, from the evangelical to the Christian of many forms, Catholic, occasional Pentecostal, and witnesses. I've challenged them at times about how effective their faith has been in keeping them out of trouble, and how their faiths might work better if they kind of use them in a positive manner. Our principles allow me to respond to any situation with something any of them can take away personally, whether it be the worth of the individual, the respect of the planet, A lot of people don't think about this stuff. The interdependent web of existence, in the acceptance of one another and one's own self. In this setting, I'm hesitant to go into our concepts of justice and equity, as I have the feeling advocating for those particular principles in this place might seem a bit insensitive. Some of these folks that I'm talking to don't think they were put here for a good reason. There are many poignant moments, some heart-wrenching. Jail is never a happy place, and the range of acceptance for their situation is very wide. From the philosophical, I only have another 2 weeks, so I'm all right, to the Stoic. I'm going to the big house next, in about a week. This still sticks with me. This from a small-framed, innocent-faced young Hispanic who was facing a seriously long incarceration and an obvious record when he leaves. There's the red-headed boy with the wry take on everything who looks forward to leaving but doesn't know where he'll land. Kind of can't go home. An older, mature-appearing, cynical youth. Everyone here is, of course, under 18, who states he's just doing the time, going along with the game, who says he will resume all previous activities as soon as he leaves. This time in jail is just part of cost of doing business. He might wind up as a politician someday. There is a coldness, a hard shell, that I took as his assessment that life is screwed. And he'll be doing it his way no matter what. Laws, courts, trials, punishment, be damned. More than one face is familiar. And those people do seem to recognize me and us. But that they did come back to our service, maybe that's a good sign. If I change one mind, make one person's day, make them smile with our singing and our words, give them permission to forgive themselves, that's why I go there. So we will now gather.
Going to lead a service at the Juvenile Detention Center generally follows a very common pattern and rhythm. We arrive and wait at the front of the building, and at about 25 after 3, we ring the buzzer on the doorway, and we are allowed to enter. We go through the metal detectors, empty our pockets, and put the contents into lockers. We then go to the back of the room where there's another locked door, and again press another buzzer, and we are buzzed through into the sign-in room. And at that point, a guard is escorting us. We sign in, go through another locked door, and go past a room filled with monitors where there are guards observing those monitor screens. And then we walk further down to a very large room that is also the dining hall. And we move the chairs and tables into the positions that we want, and we set up for the service. We help Lena with her electric piano. We set up our chalice. We set up our little electric candles. And then we wait. And we wait for the children, youth, to be brought down by the guards, usually one in front and one in back, in two different lines, one for the boys and one for the girls. And the boys are on one side, the girls on the other. And then we open our service with an introductory question. I'm now thinking of a Sunday about 2 years ago, just before Christmas, and our question then was, what gift do you want to give and to whom would you give it? We all took turns saying our name and answering that question. And that Sunday, the youth seemed especially engaged and animated. Many talked about the gift as a way to express love for family members or friends. Most probably commonly referenced their mothers. As we were concluding, one guard stepped up. He was a new guard, at least was the first time that I had met him, and he had seemed especially interested in our coming and being part of the service. He said, addressing the youth, "I would want to give each of you the gift of learning to love yourself and have the faith that you can learn from this time here and then go forward having positive experiences and have opportunities to live out your hopes and dreams." I took that as a real reminder that we are not just taking our Unitarian Universalist values to the students, to the youth, to the inmates. We are also speaking to the guards, and they are hearing our message as well. And I like to believe that at that moment, we created a sacred space where that guard felt comfortable to express some of his deep feeling and concern for the youth that he deals with on a daily basis. I'd like to believe that periodically we create that sacred space. Certainly not always, but I think there are those significant moments where we have succeeded in creating a sacred space that allows people, both guards and the youth that are in the detention center, to have that moment to recognize the sacredness of the life around them.
We were supposed to double each of those things, but whatever. That's how it is with the kids. So, yeah, I go in for our bi-monthly Sunday afternoon juvie service, lugging an unwieldy electric piano that actually belongs to Granite Peak. I drag out the cord, plug it in, and adjust the volume, yes, with help from my cohorts, for the three songs we will sing. We three leaders will sing, at least. I invite the 8 or 12 teens in attendance to be brave, join in, sing out, or just drum on the table. Sometimes a few actually do sing. I believe it's because I play standing up and get into the rocking rhythm for the "I've Got Pain Like an Arrow" and "This Little Light of Mine." And I feel that they like this. When the music starts, these twitchy, addled kids snicker and look around, embarrassed or disdainful, and demur to sing. But I know they like the music, because someone, one of the rare girls, blurts out, "I know that one." Or somebody compliments my piano playing, or says he plays piano. I compliment anybody who beats a rhythm or sings a bit or says they play an instrument themselves. And I get the feeling that these kids are all pretty much in awe of a church, quote unquote, that would come with a piano and sing this stuff for them and with them. That's the thing I like about our going in there as UUs. We're different from the usual, more conservative or evangelical churches that do Sunday services for detention. One time recently, when Clark and Peter and I were waiting outside to go in, a couple of prim, suited men came up with Bibles. They'd been told by the service organizer that subs were needed, as the scheduled church, which was obviously we Granite Peakers, couldn't make it that day. Obviously, it was a scheduling mix-up. When we cordially explained that we were indeed present and good to go as planned, the men thanked us, and before turning to leave, one patted his Bible and said earnestly, "God bless you for faithfully carrying the word of Jesus to these children," or some such. I couldn't help believing these guys' church wouldn't hold a candle to ours in terms of meaning for most of these kids. After our short service each time, in which we do give them a taste of what UUs are all about, we divide the teens up, as Peter said, and each of us takes a group for 15 or 20 minutes of just visiting. After I ask each kid in my group their age and something about their present school situation, and if they like, they will talk about why they're in there and how long. Sometimes I'll ask them, "How long? When are you leaving?" And they usually know. After all that, I invite them to share their growing up experiences with church or religion, and I ask about their present beliefs or feelings. They're all ready to share, and they listen to each other with interest. Most had a parent or grandparent who took them to some Christian church for a while, but besides the few who cling to something evangelical still, they have nothing to do with church or religion anymore. Many have perhaps gotten into drugs and alcohol instead. Most of them have issues. When I probe for reasons that they don't think or care about God or religion, their answers range from don't know, don't care, to the hypocrisy of people who call themselves Christians, to difficulty believing in the concepts. I can relate and do. In the service they've just been part of, the kids have heard a bit about UUism and our seven principles. And though, yes, they may be a captive audience, they're just to get out of their rooms and do something different on Sunday afternoon, we've piqued some interest. So your church doesn't believe in God? I've been asked more than once in the talk sessions. Then I get to tell them about all the different and endless ideas of God or not God we may have and allow as you use. I have a heart for these troubled kids. When I was teaching, they were the students I found in my high school classes who were among the brightest and most creative, the ones who warranted saving. And the best thing I feel I do as a UU missionary, and yes, I even felt that way when I was teaching, in the presence of these young detainees, is to listen intently and respectfully and accept them as they are, give credence to their own ideas and thoughts. It's a piece of cake to do this for that hour and a half. Is that UUism or what? It feels like a principle to me.